He's a Rock. And that serves to introduce another Music Factory with Bob
and Ray. That's a little cadenza by Frank Zappa there to begin.
Well, let's see. On today's show, we'll preview some of the wonderful places you might want to consider going to on your vacation, like Jungle Town, which reporter Wally Ballou visits.
Or McKeesport, Pennsylvania, which receives Artie Skirmaharn's repertorial treatment.
And our dear friend and great storyteller, the one and only Martin Lesser, is here again.
Boy, and Biff Burns.
Sober.
Wonderful, Martin. Biff Burns, the sports reporter, is going to talk with a man on the baseball scene. This is Radio's Wally Ballou on assignments for Bob and Ray at the National Zoological Park grounds, or the outskirts of it, I might say, where the new Jungle Town has just been erected by Warren Weevil. Mr. Weevil, I understand that you have created a complete replica of a jungle here for the kids to walk through and experience the thrills of, which contains all mechanical animals, reptiles, and what have you. Is that right?
That is right. We have attempted to recreate here in Jungle Town an actual jungle, a rainforest, so to speak, with all types of life, all man-made, and some of them are activated by batteries and electricity. Others are rubber band bound.
And you have, of course, the mechanical sound effects for all of them. Let me ask you this. Abutting the National Zoological Park, which is full of real animals, and your property goes right up to it, do you have any competition? I mean, do the kids like to see the real thing better than the imitation, or how did you figure that one?
Well, children and grown-ups, too, are very predictable in that regard. They like real animals, but they can get just as much fun out of watching one of these imitations. As you can see, they're lifelike as can be.
Yeah.
And also, of course, the child knows that he won't be hurt or harmed here.
There is a feeling of safety, and of course...
For instance, this boa constrictor here, isn't that a Jim Dandy-looking thing?
It certainly is. Wait a minute. Is that mechanical, Warren?
Just a second.
Lionel.
Yeah?
Is the boa constrictor mechanical?
What boa constrictor, Warren?
Uh-oh. I'm sorry, Mr. Ballou.
Huh?
He said what? Boa constrictor.
You mean you don't have one here? Certainly is a boa constrictor.
Yes, I'm afraid it might be. I would suggest that we move along.
Right.
Would you look into that, Hector? It looks real as the dickens to me, and it's moving.
It is real, Warren.
Well, would you get it out of here?
Maybe it escaped from the National Zoological Park next door. Let's move along. That looks like a gibbon ape there in the tree.
Oh, Helen. Helen. I'd like you to meet my wife. This is Helen Wally Ballou, the famous broadcaster.
How do you do?
Hello.
Certainly have a fine assortment of mechanical animals and realistic reptilia here. What's over this way, Mr. Weevil?
Here we show the type of plant that actually flies and pieces of meat. But these, of course...
Certainly hard to believe. Now, that big bird really took off. That could be a...
What kind of an animal was that that took Helen off, then?
That was the American bald eagle, that was.
Real?
Yes, real.
Mr. Ballou, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to cut this interview short, because I think
you're overboard for realism here, Warren.
I really am.
And before you let any of the children in, you better make a thorough inspection. Be sure that all the mechanical things are where they should be in the real world.
I only have a blank, you see, in this rifle.
Well, you're completely in danger here. And so, amid this scene of excitement and surprise, this is a scared Wally Ballou returning it now to our studios.
Come on.
Nice doggy.
As we mentioned a bit earlier in today's Music Factory lineup, Bob and Ray reporter Artie Skirmaharn is in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. I'd like to just, Dick, if I may, just try his line and see that everything is okay. Artie, are you there?
Well, it shouldn't take too long, and we'll wrap the whole thing up and then have a couple of blasts.
Come in, please. Artie Skirmaharn.
Yeah. Well, that'll be okay. Yeah.
Yes, he's
sure.
Listening on his earphones.
Yeah, that'll be fine. Sure.
Artie?
There's only a couple that I got to shoot along home.
Artie Skirmaharn, please.
Hello.
Yeah, Bob and Ray, Artie.
Yes.
Just want to check your line and be sure everything's ready for that report.
Thanks a lot.
Bob and Ray, roving reporter Artie Skirmaharn is on assignment this week at the Tourist Center in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. So come in, please, Artie.
This is roving Skirmaharn, the Artie reporter for... This is Artie Skirmaharn, the roving reporter for Bob and Ray. This weekend I'm here in McKeesport... I'm at a tourist center, and I have a gentleman here who has kindly consented to chat with us and to share his experiences as he goes through McKeesport. Where's home, sir?
Wadley Grimshaw, Artie, and it's a big pleasure to be appearing on the radio with you.
Fine.
Gary, Indiana.
What?
Gary, Indiana,
oh,
yes.
Oh, I see,
my home.
Yes. Well, tell me then, what brings you to McKeesport?
Well, the wife and I decided that we'd see a little bit of USA on a vacation, and so we headed for Gary, Artie.
Any special reason that you selected McKeesport?
Well, I'm in steel out in Gary.
Yes.
And I thought it'd be interesting to see how the folks work here in McKeesport.
Well, isn't Gary a steel center just like McKeesport?
Gary is a big steel center, Artie. I'm glad you gave me the chance to mention that.
I was wondering, sir, if there was any special reason why you would come to what would appear to be an area that offered no change from your regular daily life.
Well,
back
that's
home.
What we discovered, Artie. We thought that there'd be some different things to see, but here you've got your Bessemer burners and all of your slag pits, practically everything we have back in McKeesport, or back in Gary, you have here in McKeesport. Like I said to the wife this morning, once you've seen one Bessemer burner, Bessie, you've seen them all. And
yes.
So we're just trying to make the week last out and kill time looking at the same old stuff until we get back
home. This is Artie Schermerhorn with another roving report, this time from McKeesport, chatting with a gentleman from Gary, Indiana. It's been real.
We're going on a picnic this afternoon.
Fine. Regards to your wife, Bessie. This is Heidi Scramblehorn now returning you to...
Happy to say that the Music Factory continues now with us, Bob and Ray, and our guest, Martin Lesser.
Super
great
guest.
Super guest, right. Martin Lesser is a great anecdote relator, and he'll be here just, about 5-6 minutes.
It's with a great deal of pleasure that we welcome back one of Bob and Ray's personal friends and a gentleman I don't think is any stranger to very many of you, Martin Lesser. Martin, of course, is an author of some works that are quite familiar to all of us. He's appeared on radio and television and more recently in a television series as a raconteur, a storyteller, and a great fellow with the quip. And who seems to get so much out of life.
Well, that reminds me, Bob, when you use the term quip, a friend of mine and myself were on an assignment. And, you know, actually, I don't know if you know this, but you can go inside the pyramid.
Well, I've heard that, Martin.
We went inside this one big pyramid, and I was standing, probably 30, 40 feet. It's pitch black. You'd think you're down in a coal mine.
Ah.
And when you think that that was built by slaves all by hand before the invention of the wheel, you can imagine the thought that goes through a person's mind.
Well, tell them what you said when you were in this dark place and the helper came along with a bale of hay for the horses there. I remember that was...
You're thinking of the time... this is when I was alone. I was in Hollywood. I was out there to do a life story on I forget who. It was a big star.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have written for a lot of Hollywood pictures, of course, Martin, and your work out there has really been great.
The bears at Yellowstone, curiously, you know, they have signs all over there about you shouldn't feed the bears. And people will drive in there and see these little bears, and they all look cuddly and cute. But the point is that if you lower your car window to give them a donut or a piece of bread or something,
What happened? What happened that time that you drove across country, and you did it in 4 days? You had your whole family with you, your 5 kids, and your wife, and the dog. Tell them about that, Martin.
Oh, what?
The story about when you drove across country in 4 days. Do you remember the last time you were here? You told us.
I don't remember that.
How about the one at the top of the Statue of Liberty? That's always killed me.
Well, this is when I was younger, and it was a kind of a fraternity gag, and I was supposed to go up on the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah.
And to go out and to put a
torch up
a
in the
torch,
yeah.
A real live torch, more or less a Roman candle in the torch. So that the
coming already.
By the time I got to the
port.
No, the ferry boat to get out there. Now, wait a minute. Can I go home?
Martin, maybe you better brush up on your stories. A couple of them haven't really paid off, but maybe next time you'll be able to remember them.
All right.
Look them up. I'm sure you have them in your file somewhere. Raconteur Martin Le Sœur, author of If Pain Persists, and he'll be back with us soon. And this is Def Burns in the sports room again, fans, this time with a sidelight on sports. Not an actual athlete, but a gentleman who contributes a great deal to the game of baseball, and I'd like to have you give them all a real Biff Burns welcome, Shorty Warren. Shorty, you've been in the game on sidelines for about 38 years now, isn't that right?
It's been almost 12.
And during that time, you have been the leading supplier of rosin bags to all the major league teams.
Well, yes, I am, as far as I know, the only manufacturer of rosin bags.
It's probably an interesting story of how you got into the manufacture of these. Could you tell us what it was?
Yes, I can recall it very vividly. I was sitting, had a very good seat right in back of a dugout of the home team one day. I saw that the batters, before they went up to bat, would use a towel to wipe the perspiration from their hands, and that the pitchers used to wipe their hands on their uniforms before throwing the ball in order to control it better. And then I noticed after a while, the next time I had a good seat was about 3 years later, that they just had a little pile of rosin in the warm-up circle, or the on-deck circle, as it's called now. And they had a little white pile of rosin out at the pitcher's mound. And I said, too bad they couldn't think up some sort of a thing to keep that rosin in and to make it more or less portable. Because when it rained on the rosin, it was... Any other questions?
There must be an interesting story connected with how you began to manufacture rosin bags.
That's right. So I went home and after that game, and I said to my wife... She's remarried.
Oh, that sounds...
Yeah.
It's all right.
But I said to her at the time, I said, I guess we're not talking about it.
Well, you brought it up, Shorty. I didn't mention that you're even married.
I don't think my private life has anything to do with my manufacturing rosin bag.
Well, what's it got to do with rosin bags?
Well, I would thank you to keep your prying questions out of my life. I didn't come up here for
well,
that.
Let's pick up the story with your factory. You you build a nine-story factory.
Nine-story? We're on 32,000 square feet. I employ 11,000 people. Pay dividends to my stockholders every year since 1938, and very proud of it.
How many rosin bags do you turn out in a year's
We turn out just
time.
The bags, you know. We don't bother with the rosin. We furnish empty bags to all the teams. We furnish empty bags to...
Bean bag makers?
Any other questions?
Well, unless there's a story connected with how you went into this, I think we've covered the subject pretty thoroughly, Shorty. And I want to thank you for being here as a sidelight to sports in the sports room today. Any advice for anybody listening in?
Well, no. I'd say, though, that keep your eyes and ears open because necessity is the mother of invention.
This is Biff Burns in the sports room saying until next time, this is Biff Burns saying so long.
Oh, say you lucky people. Bob is outside talking to some of the visitors here at the Music Factory. Come in, please, Bob.
And now it's time to... speak with some of the folks who are passing by on tour, and right here we have a special group that we've been assigned to chat with, the folks in town to celebrate the bocce ball at the Hotel Moffitt. And who is the leader of this tour group here?
Well, there isn't any leader, but I'll be glad to answer any questions you have. Inasmuch as we're a group tour, we're going through here on a rate.
Right, and didn't you make arrangements for this last January before you all met from different parts of the country?
Right.
You all staying at the Hotel Moffitt?
No, two of us are not staying there for the simple reason that they were all sold out and we arrived late Thursday.
Uh-huh. How many are you here altogether?
12.
12 of you, and the bocce ball, as I understand, will be held Saturday night. Is that right?
In the Crystal Ballroom of the Hotel Moffitt.
Well, now, what does this celebrate, sir, and what's the reason for it?
Well, it was exactly 100 years ago that Funjulico Bocce passed away.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know it. We all were.
We all were. And he invented the bocce ball, and we're all bocce ball addicts. Every year we come, we don't know his birthday. We just don't celebrate that, but this we do know. We have it definitely 100 years.
Uh-huh. What do you do? Do you have any business meetings in connection with this, or do you just...
Before.
Well, I wondered if there was anything besides the dance that went along.
Sell the
with
tickets,
it.
And... Yeah. That's about it.
Now, was this gentleman an Italian himself?
Angelico Bocci.
Yes.
Was a Swede.
I don't think many people knew that.
Yes, and he was born in Gothenburg, Sweden.
Mm-hmm. And came to this country at an early age? Well, you wouldn't know
no,
that.
No, he
either.
Never did come here.
Oh, I see.
He thought of it. I mean, I know him. I know Angelico pretty well. I read up on him.
Mm-hmm.
He often expressed to his brother the desire to go to the States. But he just couldn't get up a scratch.
Well, of course, he would have been very pleased to see how the game has taken on here and, of course, how he's being remembered in this centennial.
I wish I could give you some free tickets, but...
they must be hard to get.
Well, it's just that we need the money. The band is going to cost us $30.
Mm-hmm. Well, if we can make it over there...
That's
certainly...
not counting the streamers or the hats.
We certainly would like to be in attendance, I'm sure. Have a good time at the ball, sir.
It's impossible.
Thanks, Bob. Nicely done. And I hope the folks out there at the bocce ball have a nice time.
Hey, they were a great, great crowd. I just said goodbye to them, came in. They enjoyed the tour of the factory, too.
Well, the chairman of the group seems to think that they're not going to have a good time. But...
No, here.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's almost about going to be it, isn't it, for today?
Well, no, not really. We have a few seconds left, just time enough to see if everyone take it what we call a horseback pole to see if everyone enjoyed the show today. How about you there in the first row, just dozing off, sir? I hate to disturb you right now, but before you got drowsy, did you like the show?
Yes, it was all right.
Fine. Are you from hereabouts?
Oh.
Downtown area, that is?
Yes.
Very good. Is that the little woman with you?
Which one?
The one on your right. No, wait a minute. Stage right. Yeah, the one on your right. The one on your left.
Tight?
No. I'll forget it. I think we better wrap it all up for the Music Factory today. We've had some wonderful time, I'm telling you. It's been a memorable experience for me, and I know if Bob was here...
Right, and our thanks to the Ultimate Spinach for being
great. Hurry up. Bob and Ray and the Music Factory is presented by MGM Verve Forecast Records, produced by H.H. Cowan and Chris Nelson. You take it.
And his lovely co-producer.
Yes.
Directed by Victor B. Cowan with a little help from his friends Tom Tracy and Dick Reese.
Till the next time, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumb.